Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Hungry for Healing podcast. My name is Emily, your host and newfound cheerleader when it comes to you healing your relationship to food once and for all. I know a thing or two about diet culture, insecurities around body weight, body image, disorderly eating, and overall just having a very poor relationship between yourself, your body, and your plate. I personally recovered from a 10-year eating disorder and started this podcast as a platform to share my own personal experience as well as the experience and science of others around their take on this food battle the world seems to be under. I hope you stick around if you're hungry to heal because you have an entire life to gain and a food struggle to lose as we venture on this journey together. Now let's get started. Hello guys, thank you so much for tuning back into the podcast today. I have my beautiful friend Carly this morning. She is going to share with us her whole journey through her own eating disorder recovery, how she actually wrote a book, has a whole online content platform for people going through recovery as well, and really just celebrating her and her whole story. So Carly, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of like where you were, maybe with food in your past, and kind of how that has transpired to where you are currently.
Yeah, well, I used to struggle with food a lot, and it was a big coping mechanism for me when I was younger, starting in high school when I was didn't have the best home environment and didn't have the best relationships with people in my family and was still trying to work through trauma from my childhood that I didn't even know I had at the time. And food was a way for me to control those circumstances. And it was a way for me to feel like I had achieved at something because there were a lot of voices in my own head and voices in my life at that time telling me that who I was wasn't enough and that I needed to do more and that I needed to achieve some sort of goal to be worthy, which at that time was being skinny and, not eating any foods that were labeled as bad. And a lot of those disordered behaviors for me started when I began running cross country in my sophomore year of high school. And they started out really innocent. And it was just, an attempt to be more healthy and to be aware of what I was eating and to make sure that I was prepared for races and prepared for just long training days. But I also have a very perfectionistic personality. And so those behaviors soon went into overdrive and they became very addictive and compulsive and spiraled out of control to a point where I didn't even realize they were disordered because I thought I was just being like this super healthy person. And I had people in my life telling me that I was super healthy and that I had lost so much weight and I should be proud of myself. And I thought like, this is it. Like, this is my thing that I have been looking for, and I've been searching for something to be good at and to be noticed for. And the monsters in my head now are telling me that, like, you're good. Like, this is your thing. Just keep going and keep working harder and don't rest. And like, don't let anyone see what's on the inside, because as long as like you're perfect on the outside, you're good. And so my relationship with food was very unhealthy and my body for about 6 years. I didn't start my recovery journey until 2017, but I realized I had an eating disorder in 2015. But there was a lot of denial that came with that. There was also obviously the fear and just that, the fear of the unknown of like what would my life look like if I didn't do these things? And what would I look like? And what would the monsters telling me that I'm not worthy, what would they do if I quit doing these things? And so my recovery journey took a while to start, but once I started, I fully committed and I'm at a place now where I live an intuitive eating lifestyle. So I eat whatever I want and when I want, and I do it without guilt. And sometimes there is guilt with the food that I eat, but I just question that and I get curious about why I'm feeling that way. And, you know, I think that recovery is a lifelong journey. And so you're constantly questioning your motives behind things. If you've ever struggled with disordered eating, to make sure that you don't go back down that rabbit hole, because it's very easy to do so, especially when you're up against stressors in your life and things do seem like they're out of your control. It's a very easy thing to grab for again and to cling to, because at one point it was your friend. So it's easy to run back to that friend and be like, hey, like, I need you right now. But yeah, I'm at a place now where I'm able to get curious. I'm able to call people in my life that I know care about me and love me. And I'm able to talk to my boyfriend about it and just not give in to those temptations, and also speak words of affirmation and just love over myself to keep myself from going back to that place. And that's really what I try to do in my work, is just inspire other people to have healthy relationship with themselves and other people in their life, to know and believe that they're good enough regardless of where they've been in the past and where they are now and what might happen to them in the future, just keeping that truth with them all the time.
Oh my gosh, Carly. No, you said so many like incredible things that I think so many people can relate to. Like, I think the biggest thing is control. It's always about control. Like, I've learned that with my own work, even regardless of how you struggle with food, it's somehow linked to trying to control your life, trying to control what people think about you, trying to control what will happen to you in life. Like, it really is sort of a coping mechanism, and then also like a disassociation mechanism. Like, when life gets really hard, we tend to, even after recovery, sometimes even after we've started working on our healing journey, when life gets really hard, our old disassociation tactics kind of can sometimes come back, right? Like, hey, like, come focus on me, like, come focus on dieting, come focus on weight loss. Like, don't even worry about the other anxieties or things like that. Because I was the exact same way, where my eating disorder was a numbing agent. Whenever I like felt overwhelmed, or when I felt not good enough, or when I felt like my family was going through something or my friends were going through something, like, that was the one thing that I could just put all of my energy and all of my attention and focus on. And I could kind of like numb out the rest of my life, hoping that my eating disorder would fix whatever I was going through or whatever I was feeling. And so I think that's a huge thing that so many people can relate to. And I think as well, like, something that you touched on that I've talked about a little bit before on this like podcast, but I feel like every time I talk about it, it becomes a little bit clearer. It's your identity with your eating disorder. And a lot of the times, I think when people struggle with an eating disorder at a very young age, it's very difficult to like know who you are without it. Like, that's what I had to go through. That's what I'm still going through to some extent, like understanding like, okay, like, who am I without this disorder? What do I think? What do I believe? How do people see me? Right? Like, if you've struggled with it for a very long time, especially during those years of kind of like, you're really developing, like you're developing and growing and finding yourself regardless. And then to throw in sort of an eating disorder on top of it, it can make it really hard to like know who you even are outside of it. And so I think the identity piece is also so, so important for people to understand and to feel comfortable to talk about. And with that being said, kind of turning it to you, then you kind of started helping other people through it. And how did you really decide that you wanted to kind of help or start a recovery account? I know you've written a book, and I would love to kind of hear about your book and what that's all about, because I think it's so inspiring to hear people who have had an eating disorder, who have, you know, gone through their own recovery. And you do not have to be like an advocate for eating disorders if like you don't want to, or you're not comfortable with it. Like, that's not the point of going through recovery. But I always love hearing people who did go through recovery and who now want to kind of share their story and their experience, how that's going, and how it's so much different to kind of look at your eating disorder as almost, like you said, a case study, and to kind of pick it apart, be introspective with it, and kind of share your knowledge around it with other people.
Yeah, Yeah, you just said so many good things too. one thing that it made me think of, you were talking about going through your disorder as you're like growing and developing and trying to figure out your identity and who you are apart from your eating disorder. And I think that in that same vein, like for me, when I started recovery, I had no idea what my like what my body, like without me putting all of these restrictions on it and without me putting it through like seriously trauma, what my body would look like. And because I started all of these disordered behaviors when I was growing and developing and becoming a woman. So learning how to accept parts of me that were super unfamiliar. And I think that's really common for a lot of people is like learning to find your set point and accept that and be okay with it and almost discover like a new version of yourself. So I just wanted to put that in there because I was thinking about it and I'm like, it's totally something that I think so many people go through. And it's funny because really like my whole life did revolve around my eating disorder. And even like my friend group, I found out during recovery that some of my friends had either gone through an eating disorder or my ability to speak up and be vulnerable about my own disorder was something that encouraged them to be able to do the same. And so I started finding that like, there are so many people that are dealing with these things and it's not just me. And it's even like people who I have close, intimate relationships with who we've never talked about this, but I'm finding out even like during my launch campaign for my book, I had one of my friends who supported the campaign reach out and say that when I first met her in college, like she was going through all of these disordered behaviors, which is when I was still struggling with them. And we're like, wow, like we crossed paths and we were friends and we studied together all the time when we were both struggling and wearing a mask at the same time and never really had the courage, or we just didn't have really the knowledge to talk about it. And maybe we didn't know that we were struggling at the time or that what we were doing was disordered. So yeah. But to answer your question, I just went off on a tangent. My Instagram initially started out as just a food Instagram. So the name of the account used to be Carly's Counter. And I would just share like recipes. And it was when I was living alone for the very first time. And I was cooking a lot. And I loved the freedom to be able to just grocery shop for myself and make whatever I wanted. At the same time, that led to a lot of restriction because I was analyzing every single item in my head and every ingredient. But I'd make like these beautiful meals and I'd sit down to eat by myself. And I would just be like, wow, this is not very cool. I wish that there was someone to share this with. Or, you know, just, yeah, I thought I was coming up with like some really cool ideas. And so I'm like, I'm going to make an Instagram and just share pictures of my food. So that's what it started out as. But that was in 2016. And then I went and studied abroad in Australia in 2017. And that's when my recovery journey really started. I had a lot of time for reflection when I was there. I was there for half a year. And I went into that trip knowing that if I take these behaviors with me to a different country where I'm going to learn and have all these really cool experiences, I am going to strip all of those things away because these disordered behaviors are going to take over completely. And I'm going to get home 6 months later and I'm going to look back and be really mad at myself that's what the experience was. It was just more of the disorder. And I didn't want to do that. So I was very intentional, even packing. I really tried to be mindful of how many like workout clothes I was packing. And because I struggled with exercise addiction along with bulimia and anorexia. And so I was super intentional about like, I'm not gonna work out every day. I'm going to really learn how to be a friend to other people and be interested in other people and not be so consumed by all of these negative thoughts in my head. And so that trip is really when I decided, like, this is going to get serious. And like, this is where it starts. And I was walking on the beach one day, and I'm a believer of God. And so I'm a Christian, and I felt God tell me, like, you're going to write a book. And I was like, what? No, I'm not. Like, there's no way. And it's funny, because like, I've always admired people, like authors, and just going into like libraries and bookstores, I've always just wanted to be that person. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. You know, people who have wrote a book, like, I'd love to be one of those people. That's such an accomplishment. And so when he told me that, I was like, no, God, like, that's funny, but that's not gonna be me. And I thought about it more, and I was actually like going through some old journal entries when I was there, and I started just like one day typing them out on my computer. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm gonna do with these, but maybe they could help someone. And I was like still struggling at this point. Like, I had committed to recovery, but like, you know, it's not a linear journey. And when I got home from Australia 6 months later, I was living by myself again, after I had like been surrounded by community in Australia, and I lived with the host family for a bit, and then I lived with other students, and there were just lots of moments for me to shift my attention to those relationships and to those experiences. And there was a lot of fear when I knew that I was going to go back to living alone, because I thought, like, this is when the monsters are like going to creep back in and I'm going to relapse. But I didn't. I chose to really tune into that vision that God put in my mind, which was like, you're going to write a book. And I just started one day, like, in my journal writing, like, okay, how would I even start the book? And part of that journal entry is now the introduction in the book. And so that's really cool. But the book initially just started out as something it started out as like overcoming adversity in your life, because there have been things from my childhood and from just my younger years that I had to overcome with my family. My dad is an alcoholic, and we didn't have a very good relationship growing up. I moved out when I was 16 because of the unhealthy relationship between us and just the emotional abuse that I encountered from him. And I was separated from my mom for many years, and there's a lot of just family trauma there that I had to overcome. And so I'm like, okay, maybe like this is what I'm supposed to write about. And it turned out, as I continued on that path, I'd carve out every single Saturday, I'd wake up and sip my coffee and just write. Like, I had no direction. I had no idea what I was doing. And I'd just write whatever came to mind and focus on different topics. And in that same time, I switched my Instagram name to Believing Beautiful. The real reason behind that is because I didn't want to go back to my eating disorder. I felt like I was changing in a lot of new ways. I felt like I was just discovering a new skin, and even wearing a new skin and revealing that to other people. I was learning how to become more vulnerable, and I was learning how to have like deep connections with people and not to be afraid of those deep connections. And I wasn't like afraid to let people in. And I really felt like I just got tired of sharing all these food pictures and not really talking about the stuff that I was really interested about and that I was learning a lot about, which was recovery. And so I remember like making an IGTV. I was so excited to tell people, like, I'm changing my name. And I changed it to Believing Beautiful because I was walking to, and you can interrupt me at any time. No. I know I'm talking a lot.
No, I love that.
But I was walking to class one day, and I was thinking about just like names if I was to ever start a business or something. And again, I felt like God put Believing Beautiful in my mind. And I was like, well, that's not even technically like that's like not grammatically correct, but I just sat on that more, meditated on it more, just like the book idea. And I thought about what it means to really believe beautiful. And to me, it means to believe that like good things in life and beautiful things in life are just as accessible to me as they are to anyone else. And it's really about having that confidence within to go after the things that you want and the dreams that you have, and to know that I can do this and I am going to do this because I am good enough. Yeah. And so, yeah, so that's why I did the name change. And since the account initially started, it has transformed a lot. Now it's a platform where I share a lot about the book, obviously. And then I also share just things that I am still going through in recovery, things that I know other people are probably struggling with if they're in an eating disorder now. And I just try to share as much like education and wisdom, and like I share some humor and whatever comes to mind. It's very intuitive. I don't really plan a lot of content ahead of time because I always want it to come from an authentic place. And but the book, once I had continued setting aside that time to write, as I got further along in that journey, I realized that it was less about overcoming adversity, and it was more about helping other people who are facing these disordered behaviors, or not even an eating disorder necessarily, but just a negative relationship with themselves because of things that they have yet to heal from in their past, which is why the subtitle is Believing Beautiful Through Trauma, Through Life, and Through Disorder. Because I really want to tackle like the things that sometimes trigger our disorders, which aren't always the desire to be skinny or to look a certain way. Most of the time, that's not even where the motivation comes from at all, but it's from a place of hurt and pain and wanting to cope and ignore those things, or being afraid to be vulnerable and not wanting people to see who you really are because of that fear of not being good enough. So I really try and cover all of those things in the book. And it was my writing coach who I started working with last year who sat me down and told me, after I had already completed my first draft, he was like, I don't think that this is the story you're trying to tell. And when you hear that after you've worked super hard on a first draft, you're like, wait, what? And he was like, no, I think that what you really want to talk about is your eating disorder and that story that you have, and the message that you want to share with other people is that they're good enough, and you want to speak to people of faith and people not of faith, but you specifically are trying to talk about eating disorders and eating disorder recovery and having a healthy relationship with your body and food, and you're beating around the bush. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, I am.
Yeah. Well, like, it's kind totally of cool. No, yeah, because what you said, as you're telling this story to me, it's so cool because it's what you kind of have to do with recovery. So it's like, cause you were saying like, I didn't really know where to begin with writing, like, and I had put it off, but I knew it was on my heart. And then I finally just said, okay, fine. Like, I'll just sit down and scribble. And then it took a while. And then you kind of had like a roadblock where it was like, maybe this isn't exactly the way you want to go or like how it needs to be, but hey, like you're still moving forward. So like, let's, you know, change. And that's literally recovery. So I think that's like super cool because we always try to start, like we always try to start already at the end. Like it's like, okay, like, but I need like all of these things and I need to like be doing all these things and I need a therapist, inpatient, outpatient, like you, and until it's quote unquote like perfect in your mind, we make up excuses, like not excuses, but like it, we never begin, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Cause like, I remember even when I like really wanted to start recovery, I like made all of these like expectations of myself that I like had to have first, like, and it was so disordered. Like it was like, well, like I have to like weigh this much to like start recovery, or it was like, well, like I have to like eat this way or like work out this way to like then start recovery. And it sounds kind of crazy saying it, but I think we all do it. And you really just have to like start. Like you just have to like sit down and be like, I want it. I don't care how long it's going to take. I don't really know how it's going to go, but we're going to do it. And it is cool because that's exactly how you wrote your book. And there's moments along the way, like I know Carly shared, where it's like, you know, a roadblock will come and maybe you learn something new. Like your coach saying, hey, like, I want you to look at it a different way. Or I know like we both have experienced, like, I still have rough days and I still have things that I'm like, oh my gosh, like that is kind of a side effect of my eating disorder. Like, oh my gosh, that's actually like triggering to me or whatever. And you're always moving forward with it. Like any account you see online, even if they say they're recovered, like, I mean, I say I'm recovered and I still all the time have things that are like, that's interesting. Or like, oh, that was like kind of a rougher day. Or like, oh, da, da, da. Because it really is just constantly falling forward. You just keep going forward. And to wrap Carly's book into it is because you are good enough to keep falling forward. Like you will figure it out and you deserve to figure it out and you deserve to live a different way. I think what was super cool about your story with Australia is I always say that like our eating disorders give us this like false, like, I guess this false fairy tale where it's like, once you look a certain way and once you eat a certain way, then you'll be allowed to like live your life a certain way. But life is passing us by. So like, had you gone to Australia and been like, oh no, like I need to diet every day and work out every day and like track everything every day until I can like enjoy Australia, you never would have enjoyed Australia. Like it always kind of takes us like one step back where it's like one day you'll be able to like be free and be happy and have friends and like vacation and yada, yada. But all of that's happening right now. And we can choose to experience all of that right now. We don't have to first accomplish weight loss to kind of like live that dream life. So I think that that was super cool that you said too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So true. I think the biggest thing to remember when you are starting recovery is that it is going to be so messy. Mm-hmm. And I know that for me as someone who struggles with perfectionism, that is a scary truth to confront, but it really is so messy. And there will be times in your journey where you stop like you do now, and you see things on social media or if something comes to mind and you're like, wow, like mind blown. But then there are times when you're fresh to recovery, when you stop and you're like, am I actually recovering? Like, am I still in the eating disorder? And there's a lot of that confusion of like, am I coming out of this or am I going back into it? And am I doing this the right way? And I think it can be really overwhelming when you're seeking out a lot of additional resources, which is something that I did. I listened to a lot of podcasts about or where other recovery warriors were like interviewed and got to share their story. I read a lot of books. I was really trying to educate myself the best that I could. And that can be a really good thing. It can also be a dangerous thing because you start to question if the way that you're doing things is right and if you should be doing them a different way. And it's so important to remember, number one, that recovery is so messy. And number two, your journey is never going to look the same as someone else's. And just because it's different doesn't mean that it's wrong. Those are two big lessons that I've learned through my journey, and they're lessons that I hope other people keep in mind as they start recovery.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. The perfectionism thing. I say all the time, like my biggest thing that I had to overcome was I kept trying to put a timeline on my recovery because same thing, like I controlled everything. So I was like, okay, in like 3 months, I'll be good. Okay, like in 6 months, like I'll be perfect. Like I'll be never, blah. And I kept trying to put timelines on things. And the same thing, I would compare myself to other people where they would say like, oh, I recovered in 5 months or whatever. And like, I had been in recovery for like a year and was like, oh shoot. Like, okay, am I like not doing this correctly? Or like you really have to just let go. Like you just let go of like expectations, of assumptions, like Carly said in the very beginning, like letting go of what you think your body's going to look like, letting go of what you think maybe your diet's going to look like throughout the day, not diet, like a diet, but like what you eat throughout the day. Like it's letting go of all that kind of like what it should be, how it should go, what it should look like. And you just keep moving forward. So I think that's beautiful, because perfectionism is the same thing as control, is the same thing as all the things that we struggle with. People just struggle in different ways sometimes. And if there's one thing that you could kind of tell someone going through recovery right now, well, first of all, definitely buy Carly's book. But if there's one thing that you could really tell someone going through recovery right now, or even on the cusp of thinking about recovery, what would that be? Like if you could kind of tell your younger self something.
I think the number one thing I would say to my younger self and just to other people is that it's okay. And it's really common when you are struggling with an eating disorder, if it's called out by other people, to feel attacked and to feel like what you're doing is wrong. And there will be a lot of people, at least in my life, that told me that I needed to eat more or that I was too skinny. And they came after what felt like my identity. And it didn't welcome me. It didn't make me feel like, oh yeah, I do have an issue and I do want to get better. It made me more in denial and it made me more fearful to really confront the truth of what was going on beneath the surface. And I really wish that someone would have just come up to me and told me that it's okay. Like, it's okay that you're struggling. It's okay that this is how you're choosing to cope. Because we all cope with the negative things in our lives in different ways. And it's okay that you might not even know that you're struggling right now. And it's okay that you don't know, how to get better, or that it's okay that you're this skinny. Like, I just wish someone would have told me, like, it's okay. And like, we'll figure this out and we'll get through this. And this is part of your story, because it really is. Like, I think about what life would be like if I would have never gone through an eating disorder. And, you know, sometimes I get stuck in the mindset of like, oh, well, like I would have had all these moments and experiences back that my eating disorder took away from me. But at the same time, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have like wrote my book. I wouldn't have all these beautiful conversations that I have with people every single day who are struggling with something alike, or who have been impacted by the book, or who want to open up and be vulnerable with me about something. And it's really given me this insight that I'll carry with me throughout my life to constantly be on the lookout for, you know, just disordered behaviors, but also lies that are told to us by society. And I feel like I'm able to share that with other people. I work in physical therapy right now, getting some experience and figuring out if it's something I want to do in the future. And we have patients come in all the time who don't even want to face the mirror because they don't want to look at themselves. Or they talk about the diet, their diet and what they've been eating, and they'll say things like, oh, I've been so good this week, or I've been so bad. And they'll get discouraged if they are a super active person and now they can't walk anymore because they're injured and they just had a knee replacement. So I think even in those situations, those people aren't necessarily going through an eating disorder, but even telling them like, it's okay. Like, it's okay. It's okay that you had pizza last night and you can't walk right now. Like, who cares? Like, pizza's delicious. So it's just, yeah, I feel like that's just such a gentle reminder. And it's so much more loving than the harsh words that sometimes come out of people's mouths when they don't really understand how to help someone with an eating disorder, which is what I felt for a very long time, which is why I took so long to commit to recovery, because I truly didn't feel like other people understood why this was something that was not so easy to let go of.
I love that. You actually made me think of, because I've always thought like my biggest thing that I would tell someone, because it's very similar to that where it's like, it's okay. My biggest thing is admitting that you have an eating disorder, you don't have to immediately fix it. because I felt the same way. I felt like when people called me out about it, or when people would say something or make a comment, or even myself, when I started thinking about changing, it was so overwhelming, because in one day I was kind of expected to just completely flip everything that I had been doing for years. And so when people would say those things to me where it was like, Emily, you need to eat more, or like, Emily, you're looking like way too small, or whatever, or like, I mean, I struggled with binge eating in college. So people would comment on like just my odd disorderly behaviors with food. And whenever they would do that, I think it was partially the way that they delivered it to me, but it was also kind of my internal expectation of myself was like, if someone said something to me, I immediately had to fix it. I immediately had to change it. I immediately had to, it is the perfectionist in us. And it was so overwhelming. And so I think on top of like telling you that it's okay wherever you are, it's also okay to not really be ready to change. Like I think more people need a little bit of time, and that can sound really dangerous, but I think if more people were allowed to just have the space to say, hey, like I'm really, really struggling and the idea of changing it is terrifying to me, and to just let it sit there for a second, I think would help so many people. Because to come forward and say like, hey, I'm really struggling, like it's really scary to me, and then to immediately be expected to like just change everything about, yeah, your identity, your habits, your coping, everything, I think that's so scary. And it holds so many people back from talking to someone about it, or from admitting that they're struggling. Because if you admit that you're struggling, you're supposed to like immediately change course. And sometimes you're not ready yet. And sometimes you're not sure how to do so. And sometimes you really haven't had the time to even like internally kind of digest what's going on. So just taking, it's okay wherever you are, whatever is happening. Of course, you have to look out for like your immediate health. If you're, you know, very, very ill or in a dangerous situation, like that's kind of different, and you need to make sure that that's your first priority. But I do think more people need the space to just be like, I'm struggling. I don't know why. I don't know what to do. And I just want to sit here for a second, like with someone. Yeah.
And learning to see that as progress,
yes.
Learning to see the awareness as a huge step in your journey. And I think what some people forget who in our lives who are just trying to be helpful is that most of the times the things that they are critiquing us about or telling us to do differently, which I didn't really face that a lot with my family. I still feel like my family's afraid to talk about my disorder because I self-recovered. My family never like sent me to a treatment facility. Mm-hmm. I wish they would have, but they didn't. And my journey happened differently, which is also okay. And I think what some people forget though in our lives is that most of the things that they are telling us, we are already telling ourselves on the inside. Like we already have that inner critic or those many inner critics, which is what I keep referring to as monsters, because I face that a lot and I know a lot of other people do. And we have those inner critics that are already like, no, you need to eat more, or maybe you don't need to eat more, but still you're aware of those voices. And most of the time, like, I mean, we are our own worst enemy, all of us. And so we already know like what we need to do to get better, even if those voices aren't necessarily helpful. So I think keeping that in mind as someone who's trying to help someone recover is really important, because the thing that is going to lead them to the most success in their journey is being loving and being there for support and giving that person a place to, just be open and feel accepted.
Yeah, absolutely, Kar. No, that was amazing. I really appreciated this conversation. Like, I know we're running a little out of time, but I would love for you to just say what your book is called. To anyone listening, I will have it linked down below as well as like on social media. So please go just check out Carly. If you're interested in her book, check out her book, but I'll let her do a little bit of a plug. And I just really appreciate you being here, Carly. Like I think it's so special to share your own personal experience and to be vulnerable in that sense. And yeah, to tell people it is okay, whatever is going on.
Yeah. Thank you, Emily. This has been a great conversation. My book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Kobo is a distributor for Walmart, and you can only get the ebook there, but on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, it's available in ebook format. and as paperback format. And then in the coming months, there will be a hardback version and an audiobook version, which I am starting to work on this week, and it's very exciting. The book is titled Good Enough, Believing Beautiful Through Trauma, Through Life, and Through Disorder by Carly Newberg. And you can find me and more of my content on my website, which is believing-beautiful.com. And then you can also find me on Instagram at believingbeautiful.
Thank you so much. That's so exciting about the like hardcover and everything. So yeah, thank you so much, Carly. And to everyone listening, yeah, please check out Carly. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll talk real soon.